Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 44 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this is program number 146. If you'd like a copy of this program, we'll tell you how at the end of the program. We have some letters, one from Tabasco, Mexico, and a couple of others probably from Africa or India. That seems where the people are more godly there than they are in the United States. There's like hundreds of thousands of people there that are receiving the gospel from my literature and from tapes, my tapes. And it just seems odd that we're calling ourselves a nation of godly people, because we get 100 times, maybe 1,000 times more letters from Africa and India and other places in the world than we do the United States. However, we do get a lot of letters from here as well. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint outwardly and anoint us inwardly. Lord, pour out Your Spirit upon me. Take over everything that I say. Let it not be me saying it, but let it be Your Spirit talking to me and through me and into those out in the world that are in the church. Strengthen them. We are busy gathering the bride together. You're busy doing that through us. The bride of the Lord is the church. The church is the New Jerusalem. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the temple of God, and Jesus is our temple. And heaven is our final place. And there's Satan is extremely ferocious in these last days, doing everything he can, Father, to destroy everyone attempting to get into the straight and narrow. There's more television programs today, more magazines, more books, more of everything of the world that people are seeking to find rather than to find you. And the spirit of Satan is extremely strong. We're living in the hour of temptation. And you stated that those of us that really were in you and you were in us, and those that were seeking you, that we'd find you and you'd keep us from this hour of temptation. Lord, it's a fight that we must discipline ourselves to fight. We must keep ourselves away from the world. He tells us, love not the world. That means any of the secular, satanic, carnal things that are going on in the world today. We just have to love our righteousness. Love the actual principles of you, Father, so that we'll be able to attain a heavenly home. There are only two places where we are going in the end of this world, which is very soon. We just read, Father, yesterday, as you well know, part of the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, which tells us that we're in the very last days. And the gospel is preached throughout the entire world now, just as heresy is being preached everywhere in the world. Everyone calling themselves Christian are not Christians. We see every form of darkness coming against us. You showed that to me in a vision, that Satan would be attacking us with his dark sayings, his dark words, his people that are filled with darkness, night, blind, following blind leaders because they love the sin, and they're going to reap the wages of sin, which is death. Lord, let every word that proceeds from this in this tape be Yours, that it will give people strength to pull away from all the evil things that they were involved with today and prepare them for tomorrow or for this day, the day that they're hearing, or the afternoon or the evening that they're hearing this message, to keep them strong another day in the church, and that souls will be saved, the amount of which you know and the one that you will want to be saved. Lord, we ask it. We ask that you cause people in their hearts to resist Satan. We know that Satan is on the move, just as we are on the move. We ask that you build a wall of fire around and about us and protect us. We ask, Lord, I ask you that you destroy the works of Satan and the Lord of heaven and earth, that you will in people cause them to destroy the works of Satan. We have to choose to destroy Satan. You've given us the power to be able to do that, but it's us that have to destroy the works of Satan. The blood of Jesus taketh away the sins of the world. And the blood of Jesus is one thing that Satan can't stand. He can't even stand to hear the name, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus taketh away the sins of the world. The blood of Jesus is the way we get saved. We are covered with the blood of Jesus. And so many ministers today that call themselves ministers of God never say the blood of Jesus. Why is that? It must be, Lord, that they are not at all concerned about the blood of Jesus. And that must mean that they don't have you in them or in their ministry. Lord, I thank you for giving us the blood, your blood, and your body, and your spirit, and the bread of you are the bread of life. We thank you and praise you, Lord. We give you all the praise and the glory and the thanks for all the things that you have accommodated us with. You've accommodated us with salvation. You've accommodated us with, for sure, this is healing. We've been healed. And people out there, if you believe your doctors over and above the Lord, well, then you're not saved. Those that believe shall be saved and healed, and those that doubt shall be damned and die. Lord, we ask that we have the spirit of you in our lives so that we can, on a daily basis, because we know not in which hour our Lord shall come. We ask that you give us the awareness to know that we have to seek you on a daily basis, your spirit, so that when you come, and you're going to come like a thief in the night, and it's going to be soon because all the signs are fulfilled, and they're just we know that you're standing at the door. And Lord, we know that those that are not with the spirit in them are like the five foolish virgins who, when the Lord cometh, and no man knows when, but we know that all the signs that you mention in the book of Matthew in chapter 24 have happened. One of the last signs is that the gospel would be preached throughout the entire world. And then the Lord cometh. And the five wise virgins that have oil in their lamps were ready to meet him. And all those that will be weeping and wailing and gnashing on their teeth did not consider the warnings of your word. They didn't know how truthful you are. They must have thought you were a liar. And Lord, when you come and they're found without you in them, they're going to hear you say, "Depart, you wicked, into everlasting darkness, into the pit of hell, into the lake of fire." And then there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth forever and evermore. Lord, we ask that you make this a service where everyone will be aware of what they must do in order to be able to enter the kingdom of God. Lord, that their souls might be saved and escape the fiery pits of hell and the lake of fire. We ask it in Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' holy, mighty name, amen. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From Takoradi, Ghana. Dear Pastor, I can really feel God's presence in my entire life thanks to your Christian newsletters and the holy book entitled The Messiah that you sent me. Even at this moment that I'm writing this letter, I can feel that I've been relieved from the bondage of immoral deeds. Pastor, I really appreciate every bit of your effort to save lives from the hands of the ungrateful devil. May the Lord Almighty God bless you abundantly and broaden your righteous ministries as well.
Yes, Father, in Jesus' name. That's who I am.
Pastor, my problem is that I'm now new in Christ after several years of engaging in immoral deeds.
Right. And the whole world will escape the immoral deeds. You can see what they're doing in the world, and the Lord makes me see it and hear about it and everything. And so I know that I was living an immoral life as well. And the only thing that's been able to keep me going for these past 41 and a half years is the Holy Spirit, and to be making myself, compelling myself to get into the Word of God. There's been so many times that the Lord has told me, get into the Word, stay into the Word, because I want you to bring others into me. I want you to gather together my bride just before I come back to earth again. Now, the Bible tells us that the bride of Christ are each and every one of the individuals that make up the body of Christ, the bodies that Christ lives in, which corporately becomes one body, the body of Christ. And so that's what the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to be saved and turn your back, turn your eyes away from all the immorality in the world. The Lord knows that it's just almost impossible to not see it, but we have to look away from it. We can't think that it's cool or smart to be part of such a thing as that. But we have to turn our heads completely from it, because we're in the last age of this world. And we're going to read a little bit of my staff did a little bit of research here and got on Hal Lindsey's website, because I was in another room and I couldn't get into the room where the television was blurring away with Hal Lindsey on it. And I heard him say that the earth has actually moved off of its axis. And so we downloaded some of the things that he said. And I'm going to have one of my staff here read it over the air, where the Bible states that in the last days... No, we're going to finish the letter. Don't jump the gun here. The Lord stated in His Word that the earth in the last days would be moved off of its axis. Now, the plagues are going to get more powerful and more powerful as we go further into the tribulations. And we just saw a couple of days ago read from the Word of God that the Lord will not come back to get the church until after the tribulations, immediately after the tribulations, the great tribulations. The Lord comes back, He appears in the sky, and He comes, and those of us will be taken up to meet Him in the sky, and then we turn around. Have you ever met anybody on the sidewalk and they're coming your way and you're going their way, and they say, hey, come on with me, and so you turn around and go with them? Well, that's the way it's going to be. We're going to go up to meet the Lord, and then we're going to turn around and come right back here to watch the Lord take vengeance on the wicked that would not turn away from immorality, that would not take their minds off wickedness, that would not take their eyes off the world. Love not the world, the Lord says. Love not any of the world, but love the Lord, and because the Lord loved you, and the Lord loved me, and the Lord came into this world to tell us the truth of God. God Almighty, the Word, states in the first chapter of John that He, in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God. As a matter of fact, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and the Word, which is God, and He came and became flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who went through every phase of human life with human blood in Him, to show that a person that is human and has human blood and bones, flesh, if they have the Spirit of God in them, can make it through the world still loving God. They can show the world that they love God more than they love pornography, more than they love sex, more than they love homosexuality, more than they love lesbianism, lying, stealing. And some people that won't divorce themselves from these things, such as lying, they lie, and they don't care that the Bible says that no liar shall enter the kingdom of God. And they just don't care what they say. Their mouth is like a garbage dump. Anything comes out of any time they get pressed in a corner and they somebody accuses them of something and they lie. Is lying worth going to hell for in the lake of fire or losing your position with the Lord? I think not. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, you have to keep all the commandments. The moral law never goes away. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came here to fulfill it in a human body. He came here to show us that, yes, the flesh is weak, but with the Spirit of God in us, we are then strong because we live by faith in the Spirit, in the that there is the kingdom of heaven to gain and the world is to shun because the world is condemned. And there's nothing that anybody can do about that because the world is condemned. It's going to burn. And as soon as the Lord opens the eastern skies and takes us up with him, those of us that are saved, then the people are going to be praying, the ones that are lost, the ones that love the world and can't seem to get enough, care enough about God to receive his power in them on a daily basis. They're going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing on their teeth. They're going to be praying for the rocks and mountains to fall on them to hide them from the wrath of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God gives us the power to overcome this world, sin, Satan, the world, death, hell, and the grave. And then people think of that as a nothing kind of a gift, that it's all baloney. In other words, they're calling God a liar. And because of that, you're calling God a liar. That's what Satan did in the Garden of Eden. He says, well, God has told us not to eat from this tree. Oh, he says, God, or we'll die. Well, God is lying to you. You will not die. He's a big liar. I know him. I used to be his covering angel. I used to live with him. I used to be with him in the temple, and I hear him laughing at the angels for worshiping him. Yeah, and he was making all kinds of phony books up there and everything. And he just thinks the angels are a bunch of suckers up here for worshiping him. And he laughs and mocks at them for doing so. That's the same thing that these devils, the devil in these people, are saying about pastors like myself. They say that we're fixing the books and all that. We didn't have, actually, the time that they were saying that, we didn't have any money at all. They said we were fixing the books. And the Internal Revenue Service clamped down on us for $120 million taxes. We hadn't even taken in all the years that we'd been in the ministry, we hadn't even taken in $5 or $6 million. And that was, and every bit of it was used to support the people in this church and build homes for them and to, you know, do everything that the Lord says for us to do for our people. And now we're reaching out to people that we don't even know that the Lord tells us to go and do the things for them. But we don't want to brag about that, because then if we sound a trumpet at the things that we've done for humanity because of the Lord telling us to do it, and he provides the finances for it, and so it's really not us, but we're just being obedient. And the Lord's watching us under a glass to see if we're going to feed poor people, and if we're going to, we see these tsunamis and all the things, and there were a lot of kids that were killed in those tsunamis, and there was a lot of people, little babies, they don't go to hell. or when they die, or the tsunami got them, or maybe children even up to 5 years old that have never come to the age of accountability. They didn't know what sin was. Well, those souls went right up into heaven, and so they're in a better place right now. But the ones that the Lord killed, many of them were people that were Buddhists and Muslims and things like that. You say, why could God do something? Because people have turned away his precious son that came here to show us what we must do in order to have eternal life. And the media and the government and the Pope, the Vatican, is showing us, you know, what we must do in order to be on friendly terms with them. Well, people have to choose whether you're going to be friendly to the Vatican, its world government, and the media, or if you're going to be friendly unto the Lord and turn your back on all of them. Now, we're not doing anything wrong. We're not breaking any laws, but we don't agree with abortion, fornication, homosexuality, and all these things. These people are just former attorneys and people like that that are known to be charlatans anyway, and that have gotten into politics. I know some good attorneys, I mean, that have been good to us. But there's the majority, I think Shakespeare said it in a nutshell. Now, I don't believe this way because I'm a Christian, but I don't believe to be as harsh as Shakespeare is. He says, first thing we do is kill all the attorneys because they're no good. And the Lord says, woe unto you attorneys, amen?
Amen.
Now, we don't kill anybody. We kill the devil in him by preaching the word of God to him. And the attorneys know they're a bunch of, most of them know they're a bunch of weasels, amen?
Mm-hmm.
But we've got some good attorneys in our arena. Johnny Goodson is one of them, and we've got many others in New York. And God has really blessed us with some good attorneys. We've had our experiences with some of them, though. Some of them pretty bad. But let's finish this man's letter here.
I want to learn more about our Savior. I have noticed that I can achieve this by knowing more about the Holy Bible.
That's right. That's the only place you're going to find it, except, you know, through the preaching of God has given us. He says, you have no need that any man teach you, because he says the Bible tells you that you must have teachers, preachers, evangelists, prophets, people that and helpers to help you learn about the Lord. And so you don't have to have people tell you that. The Bible tells you that. Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit of God tells you that you need pastors, teachers, preachers, evangelists, and helpers, and prophets. So here we are. Or here, you know, so just keep tuning in. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Unfortunately, I don't have any Bible.
Well, you will have one. You just give us your address. Did he give us his address?
Yes.
Okay. He's probably got it already. Because it takes a long time for us to get to these letters. We get just mountains of them, and we do them as fast as we can. Then what?
Because I'm a student in the secondary level, I can't afford to buy one for myself. I don't want to go back to my old fashion of living. So I'm pleading with you in the name of the Lord to send me a Holy Bible and some of your taped messages as well, so that I can always listen to God's word and always read the Bible as well.
Well, you people out there, you don't have to plead with me to do it. I just want to do it, okay? So, you know, there's no pleading necessary, all right? Then what?
I want to end here with much greetings to you and your ministries. I hope my letter would be considered as early as possible. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you very much. Sincerely yours, Ebenezer from Takoradi, Ghana, Africa.
Our shipping, praise the Lord, brother, and our shipping department is instructed before I read these letters or they're read on the air to ship. When people write in for literature and Bibles and Messiah books and tapes, to send it to him immediately. So I'm sure he's already gotten his. All right, now, what else do you have there?
The next letter is from Gerardo, Tabasco, Mexico.
Tabasco, Mexico, that must be where they make the Tabasco sauce, you know, that people love so much. Okay, let me hear it.
Brother Tony, last month I received your newsletter and decided to make myself a distributor of your important literature because it is 100% godly. Many who read the newsletters have been transformed by the power of God. I would like to request an even larger amount of literature to be able to sow gospel seeds. Please send me more newsletters. Also, my size shirt is 38. I have not received any yet.
38 would be a medium. Okay, and then what else?
I formed a group of distributors of your literature. We will be passing them out at bus stops, supermarkets, house to house, etc. We will be giving all of our time so that your informative newsletters get around and for souls to be led to Christ. Yours in Christ, Gerardo from Tabasco, Mexico.
Praise the Lord. Okay, now let's, is that the last one?
There's one more.
Okay, one more. Go ahead.
From Uganda. Dear Pastor Lamo, I thank God for your ministry, which reaches out to many people every day with your most powerful testimonies in our century. I am writing to you asking you to avail me to work with you here in Uganda, as you give the resources to get the word of God out and help me with the necessities for life, as together we compassionately cover this side of the world with the gospel of truth. A number of preachers, even those from America, have been approaching me to cover my ministry in the way of affiliation, but I refuse them even though they have the finances and materials, but they lack that deep scriptural insight that you have. Well, anyway, I request you once again to commission me as you send me more literature of all kind, audio and videotapes for music and gospel. I will send you a photo so that you can see how we are doing the work. God bless you, and we'll hear from you soon. Yours, John from Kampala, Uganda, Africa.
Praise the Lord. So I'm not the only one that feels that those people are not deep. Amen. They say such they bring some truth for sure, but I mean, what good is it? 99% of truth is a lie. I mean, you gotta have 100% truth. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because the truth, not 99% of the truth, is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So if somebody's preaching, say, 75% truth and 25% fallacy, and they're saying that we should back up people that are in the Antichrist, well, I don't buy them at all. Well, the Lord has had me rebuking a lot of preachers and teachers that have been saying things that are absolutely false, such as John Hagee and Rod Parsley for stating that Bush was of the Lord, and he is not. I'm rebuking them because they're saying things that are absolutely false. Right, and they're leading their people astray. Let me tell you something. Right now, even Jack Van Impe is coming out and saying that he's bragging about being a Catholic, and he's exalting them. And there's so few of them, and so this man knows it, you know, that they're not, they don't have any deep scripturality. They just have this money that the Vatican gives them, and so they bow down and kneel to them and exalt people that are of them. And because even after these people order that millions of people are destroyed with bombs and everything, how could a man say that he's a Christian when the Lord says that we're not to use carnal weapons and they're bombing people? They say, well, what else could we do? They had weapons of mass destruction. No, they didn't. Amen?
Amen.
And you'd think that after they found out that they didn't have it, that they'd lay off, that they'd get our troops out of there. But no, he just keeps them there because he's a stubborn man. And he just wants to keep going because he thinks that if he just stubbornly keeps doing the things that he's doing, that all of us will think he's right. Well, I know that he's nuts. Otherwise, he wouldn't be building monuments to the Pope and Rome in Washington, D.C. The man is an out-and-out half-wit. And they say, I mean, we've got all kinds of proof that he's homosexual. He hangs around gay bars. We're getting so much information on that. And he doesn't even care. And I notice when he gets off of his airplane and heads for the White House, he kind of swishes when he walks, you know. He's getting to be more and more, what the world calls Nelly every day. You see. Well, and he doesn't even get mad, you know. And even his mother said that, according to one of the reports, it's right on the internet. You can look, at it yourself. I brought it out on one of the programs. I mean, this man is not a Christian, all right? Mm-hmm. I want him to be. And President Bush, I mean, I really hate to see homosexuals and Antichrist people go to hell. That's why I preach the gospel to you and try to uncover some of the stuff you're doing so that you don't deceive any more people. Because you're sending people to hell by preaching the garbage that you preach and teaching the things that you teach. Okay? So, no, they say the parents of President Bush, it states on the, you know, that they sent him to a school to kind of break him from the habit of being homosexual. But schools can't do that. It has to be the power of God. Now, President Bush, if you let the Spirit of God enter into you, the power of God can make you 100% whole. He'll cast those demons out of you. You know, whether it's true or false or whatever, there's just so much of it, I don't know. I don't know you. You're one of the presidents that I have not met, personally. And your dad, I've never met him either, but I met Ronald Reagan. I know him. And I met President Clinton when he was the governor. And I'm praying for him as well, and I'm preaching to him. And I just think it was senseless for him to say the things that he said about me in his book. You know, President Clinton, his life, sorry. So, but nevertheless, you know, I just let that sort of stuff run off me like the water on the back of a duck. I have to keep preaching no matter what these former presidents say about me. One thing is that Ronald Reagan did send his aide, Herb Ellingswood, who is his right arm, to our church to commend Ronald Reagan, to commend us, the Alamos, for cleaning up Los Angeles. At that time, we were not all over the world, but now we are, because we stopped Los Angeles from being burnt down to the ground. And, you know, I was in the hospital one time when I was 20 years old, and Ronald Reagan's mother used to come and visit me and me only in the hospital. And she would embarrass me because I was in a ward. I didn't have enough money to have a private room. And she said, "There's my little brown-eyed boy." And all the guys would just mock me when she'd leave. They said, "Oh, there's the little brown-eyed boy." And she told me that I reminded her of her son, Ronald Reagan. And she said he was such a good boy. And I know that they are good boys, you know, when they're children. And that's why God made every one of us on earth. And I'm not wanting to hurt anybody. I don't want them. And I'm sick and tired of Bush and these Clintons and everybody. Clinton and I had good times together. But then when he felt that he couldn't use us anymore, because I have so many followers, that he was wooing me to get votes for him. And the same thing with this 700 Club. Pat Robinson. When he was running for president, he wanted me to back him up with votes, and I told him, "No way, man, because, you know, you're not supposed to be doing this. The Bible clearly tells us that we're not to be entangled with the affairs of this world. And you think that your voice is going to make things better? Look at how the government is now. It's worse and worse. Now they're saying that, you know, it's okay to kill Christians like they did at Waco. You didn't make anything better. You're just making people think that you're crazy. That's what the politicians think about you, people that feel that you feel that you've arrived now that you're on television. Sue and I were on television for 10 solid years, and most all you evangelists out there are imitating our program because everybody came out in these drab gray suits. They had no big orchestra or anything. Nobody brought their wife out with them. Sue and I went out there together, dressed up like Hollywood, Beverly Hills. And now you're all going overboard, man. It's like you got these Las Vegas dance lines going, you know, and doing the hoochie-coo, and It's just like, my God, it's so nauseating. You people don't know when to quit. Probably 99%, I know about 90% of you are probably a bunch of hicks that have never been even to Hollywood, you know, until your congregation gave you enough money to be there. I've been in show business ever since I was 2 years old, and I'm not bragging about it. But I was on stage with my dad. He had a big dance troupe that traveled all over the world. And he'd had a little skit for me on the and my brother Danny on stage wherever we'd go. We slept in dresser drawers and backstage. When we were off, we were real tired, and they just stuffed us in one of the drawers, leave it open so we could breathe. Okay, so, you know, and then you people think you're showbiz. You're coming on like the world. You think that by coming on like the world that you're going to win the world. No, you're not. You're not a soul winner like I am. Okay, I could care less about being on TV. I saw what it was like to be on television in the gospel field for 10 years. The Holy Spirit came down, and there was the biggest outpouring of the Holy Spirit since I don't know what happened at Azusa Street. People spoke in tongues and everything, but we've won more souls than the people at Azusa Street ever thought of winning. All right, and we did that by not getting up and doing the Watusi or the twist or anything like that on television. That was what I did before I got into the gospel field. Okay, the Lord delivered me from all the stuff that you people are now doing. All right, now, you know, wake up. You know, the Lord doesn't like that. If you can picture the Apostle Paul doing the Watusi, or, you know, swinging his rear end around like you people are having those kids do, and swinging their bodies back and forth and swaying and clapping their hands and popping their fingers. You know, it's like going to the Apollo Theater in New York, or going to the Ziegfeld Follies, only it's a cheap version of it. Cotton pickers. Okay, then what?
It was the last of the letters.
Okay. I even forgot what that one was about. All right, now let's read a little bit of what Hal Lindsey says. Now, Hal Lindsey is one of the most horrible, I mean, dangerous eternal security preachers, unless he's changed his... there's just a lot in his ministry that I don't care for at all. But he, one thing I do like what he was is what he was talking about, how that I didn't realize that the earth was turned off of its axis. And that may be and that we lost a couple of microseconds off the our time. Read it, what he says here.
Our planet was struck by an earthquake so massive that it set the whole planet vibrating like a tuning fork.
Like a vibrating tuning fork. Okay, then what?
The earthquake was so powerful it caused an oscillation of the Earth's surface of 8 to 12 inches, caused the planet to wobble on its axis, and cut 2 microseconds off the length of a day. The island of...
Do you believe that? The Lord says that the earth would be moved off of its axis, and it already has been. But it's really going to be moved so much when the big earthquake comes that all the mountains will be leveled. All the hills will be leveled. Every building is going to be leveled. Everything is going to be leveled. You people, like they say in showbiz when I was in it, you ain't seen nothing yet. Okay, then what?
The island of Sumatra was permanently relocated some 66 feet to the southwest of its pre-quake position, and some of its coastal area fell below sea level. The undersea quake spawned a tsunami wave that claimed the lives of well over 300,000 people. 2 days after the Indian Ocean earthquake literally rocked the world, astronomers announced they had refined their calculations and said that 2004 MN4 probably wouldn't impact with the Earth, but would miss the planet by between 15,000 and 25,000 miles, 10 times closer than our moon, and in astronomical terms, barely a hair's breadth. While the 2029 impact is calculated to miss our planet, Brian Marsden, director of the Minor Planet Center at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for astrophysics says that is still only a guess. Quote, you don't know what the gravitational effect of the Earth will be, unquote, he said. Quote, in 2029, the close encounter with Earth will increase the size of the orbit, and the object could get into a resonance with the Earth, unquote.
Now, they say in 2029. This is the end of the world right now. If it goes to 2029, this is like an unsaved calculator. Somebody that says, we don't know. He doesn't know what's going to happen when these things come so close to the Earth. There is a cosmic junkyard headed our way, in so many words, is what he's saying. There's like meteorites, and the Bible tells us that he's going to wipe out one third of the Earth population with these meteorites. There's going to be a giant one hit the ocean, and it's going to hit it so hard that it's going to cause tidal waves over 1,500 feet, which could actually cause the tidal wave part of the ocean to go clear out to the state of Arkansas and cover and kill everybody in its wake. Then what else does he say here? I don't want to go too far. I mean, there's a whole lot. You know, you people can look it up on the website yourself. But, you know, they take the edge of it off by saying, 2029, you know, or something like that. How are they going to tell? All right? When these rocks are going to hit, he says there's no telling what the gravitational pull of the Earth will cause those meteorites to come crashing down on this Earth. And God has said that he's going to shorten the time. If they say 2009, it could be tonight. Amen?
Amen.
But we know one thing, that the two witnesses will have to appear first. And I believe that there are one at least that is on Earth right now. I believe that Enoch's here on Earth right now. And I believe that he's right here in this ministry. All right, now what else?
Quote, you could get orbit matchups every 5 years or 9 years or something in between, unquote. In other words, a collision with 2004 MN4 remains a definite maybe. When Jesus was asked, quote, what will be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age, unquote, he ran down the now familiar list of earthquakes and famines and wars and pestilences, all of which, he said, would come upon the earth like birth pangs, increasing in frequency and intensity as the time grew near.
Right. That's what I'm telling you. That's what the Lord told me, is that you ain't seen nothing yet. You people are, the things that you've seen here are like a walk in the park in comparison to what's a-coming. All right? And there's things that, catastrophes, curses from God, because people just keep not accepting his gospel. They keep not turning away from the world, divorcing themselves from the world, and God's going to keep it up. As long as you keep it up, God's going to keep it up. And your loved ones are going to be killed, and you're going to be killed, and your souls are going to hell. That's not so bad to get killed, but to have your souls go to hell afterwards. That's the bad thing. Then what?
He also said, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea.
Right. The nations right now are saying, we can't do anything to stop these floods, these famines, these pestilences, the earthquakes. What can we possibly do? All the governments in the world do against like meteorites and these mudslides and these tsunamis and these hurricanes and the tornadoes, the twisters, the typhoons, and all the other things that are happening. And more disease is going to happen. And it's, I mean, everyone knows it, and yet they don't repent. Those of you that do, if you don't repent, well, you're going to be with the majority. You're going to be with we the people. We the people. What are you the people going to do against God? You voted him out. I mean, you're very happy to see the Bible taken out of schools. you're very happy to see that you can't say the word, the name of God in even courtrooms, and that people look down on you. You, the people, look down on those of us that are preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And who are you but a mud paddy that's got a little breath in you, and God's letting you walk around until you make a decision to either accept the Lord or go to hell. And it looks as if many of you have decided to go to hell, because these plagues are coming. And there's no way you can stop it, and they're going to accelerate more and more every day. The news media, they don't want you to believe what I'm saying, so they're not reporting 99 9/10 of the things that are going on in the world. They refuse to tell you about it, because all it does, if they report it, will certify that what I'm saying is the truth and what the Bible says is the truth. So they're not reporting the news to you. They're telling you, oh, look at this. There's a koala bear that was born today at the San Diego Zoo. Isn't that something? Okay, let's go.
Men will faint from terror and apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Luke chapter 21, verses 24 through 26. After that, Jesus said, quote, at that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory, unquote. In the meantime, he told those who would witness the signs of his return, quote, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near, unquote. One thing is certain. For the first time, man now has the ability to track smaller asteroids that could wreak enormous destruction on this planet.
Just even small ones can do. Like one of them can just smash the entire city of New York and Newark, New Jersey, and some of those Elizabeth, New Jersey, and other towns around the area. Brooklyn, the Bronx, all the five boroughs in New York City. Okay, then what? Queens, etc. Okay, what else?
This is bringing increasing anxiety about threats from the heavens not known before.
Right, God is threatening the earth, and you know, you're more worried about a bunch of ragheads, these Arabs. We're more worried about God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
This is exactly what Jesus predicted would happen in the last days. The prophetic signs of Christ's soon coming just keep multiplying. Are you ready to meet him?
Yeah, that's the question, are you? Well, now let's get into part 44 of how to have God's life living in you. That's the thing that you say, well, what can we do? Have God's life living in you. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because if one of these things should hit you, it doesn't make any difference then, because you're in the arms of the Lord. Most people are afraid to die because they don't believe in God. They don't believe in a hereafter. And they don't believe, they just don't want to suffer the pain of death. But if you believed in the hereafter, if you believe in God, and you have the Spirit of God in you, you won't fear death any longer, because you never die. Jesus said, those that believe in me, that if he dies, still he's going to live. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Let's start out with some of this.
Some people don't care about the withering up of one of the members of the body of Christ at all.
Or any of the members of the body of Christ. They just don't care of withered souls. Or the souls that are completely dead out in the world, that need to be made alive by the Spirit of God. Well, let's go. The Lord led me to get into the last three or four verses of chapter 24. And then we go into 25. We're already at about 50 minutes, so we've only got about 5 more minutes left. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, let's go.
But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming.
Okay, now he's talking about the people that are good servants, ones that take care of God's household. These are the good, the ones that the Lord has called to rule here on earth, that take care of the household of God, all the children of God. When they ride in from all different countries, they have needs, wants. People that are born again of the Spirit, they need to see that there's a leader in the world that's going to take care of their needs. And I don't know these people. I don't know, But I asked the Lord, Lord, how much for this person? Send them $25. How much for this? $50. How much for this one? Another $25. Okay, ask this. I don't know. I just don't send this one anything. These are people that are just wanting money for themselves. How much for this one? Send them $5,000. $5,000, Lord. Is this you, Lord? You know, and I pray about it. How much for this one? $1,500. How much for this one? $50. And this is the way that it's done. And it comes in so fast and furious, I don't have time to call up on the phone and say, are you a real Christian? I don't have to, because I'm on a toll-free call with the Lord. I'm right there sitting with him in the heavenly places. And I'm just talking to him, and he's just talking right back to me. Yeah, I'll send this one, 25. Should I send more than 25? No. Should I send less than 25? No. 25. Okay, send that one, 25. Okay, Lord, how much should I send this one? 100? Yes. More than 100? No. Less than 100? No. He'll tell me just right back and forth all the time. Lord, do you really want to send five? Yes, these people are really hit hard in Pakistan. Or these people are really hit over in India or someplace, and this man is in charge of a huge bunch of orphans, and they are Christians, and they are distributing your literature, and they are distributing the Bibles, and they're preaching the gospel to them. Now send them the 5,000. Yes, Lord. And you want to know something? The money comes back 100-fold. And then there'd be more people reaching out for more money or more Bibles and more tapes, more literature of all kinds, and clothing, and so on and so forth. And I have to take care of it quickly. I have no time. I have to stay up there at the throne of the Lord. Okay, but now here's this bad servant. Read this one again.
But and if that evil servant shall say in his
but
heart...
But read the verse before that.
Okay. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods.
Yeah, that's the one that takes care of things like the way I'm telling you. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord's going to put me in charge of everything. Hallelujah. And he'll do that for you, too, if you learn to talk to God and that you have a hearing ear from him. Pray for that, a hearing ear, to know what you're supposed to do. And who. There's some people say, I've got this great big work over in Africa here, and there's 5,000 people over here. And I say, oh, Lord, what should I send them, $5,000? Or no. $4,000? No. $3,000? No. $300? No. $50. And I said, why, Lord? He says, because they're getting money from all different other kind of places, and they really don't need it as bad as this guy over here. He needs, this one over here really needs $50 or $100 or $200, $300. This one needs $300. Well, I'm so happy to know that I'm not going to be sending out a huge amount of money, of God's money that God sent in here. And not from tithes from radio or anything like that. We get very few tithes from radio. But we out there working. We work with our hands and we tithe it in. Okay? The people out there in the world, they're tithing, I guess, you know, to, I don't know who they're tithing to, but I know there's a lot of people robbing God. That's for sure. And that's on you, my friend. That's on you. Okay? But if you want me to take your blessings, I'll take every single one of your blessings out there. I'm going to take care. I'm going to do what the Lord said. Blessed is the one that takes care of the household of God. These people that are writing in here that the Lord is telling me to send money to, those are the ones that are really saved. God wouldn't tell me to send money to a bunch of people that are just out there. Some people say, send 5,000 Bibles and 5,000 T-shirts and literature. And I'd say, Lord, we don't have any letters from them. They're not saying that they're distributing literature or anything. And then I'll call our office and find out, what's the story with? We never heard from this guy before. Somebody just reported him that he's taking Bibles and selling them. I said, well, don't send him anything. I don't sell this literature. And I'm not sending it over there for him to open a Bible bookstore or something. Or to, you know, get wealthy on the gifts that the Lord sends us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but really, go on now really quick, because I see that my time is just about up here.
But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming.
The Lord delays his coming? Do you really think the Lord is delaying his coming when you see all these things lined up as the Lord says it was just before he comes back? And the last sign was that the gospel is being preached all over the world. Our radio broadcast is all over the world. and many broadcasts are all over the world. This is the end of time, friends. Okay, then what?
And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Right, so the Lord is a good God, but he tells you that if you send your soul to hell, that's where you sent yourself. Amen?
Amen.
You know the conduct that you're supposed to have in order to be able to make it into the kingdom of heaven, and you can't have that conduct unless the Spirit of God is living in you. And the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, with His Father by the Spirit, will enter you right now. My time is up. And if you would say the beginning, if you just start saying this prayer right now, so say it and mean it to the Lord with all your heart and soul. My Lord and my God, say this to the Lord. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word is the truth. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, therefore, Lord, I'm calling on you, and therefore I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and thank the Lord for saving your soul. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now give him praises and keep praising him all the time, because that's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you, is that your soul is saved. But only those that continue on serving him till the end. And you have to first read and let him serve himself through you. Let him live in you and work in you and through you. Now, I promised you at the beginning of the program that we'd show you four different ways on how to receive a copy of this program. You ask for program 146, 146, and specify whether you want a tape or a CD. All right, and so let's tell them four different ways how to receive this tape, a Bible, literature, whatever, tapes. Okay, go ahead.
Go to alamoministries.com or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax area code 479-782-7406.
All right, pull yourself away from the world. You have to discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will live in you if you'll just read that Bible, and the Lord Jesus, with his Father by the Spirit, will live in you and tell you things, and he'll start talking to you, and you'll talk back to him, just like I do, and many others have and are. And make sure to tune in tomorrow for part 45 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you, praise the Lord, and keep away from the world. Love not the world. Hate it. Hate this world, this present world, and live for the world to come. In Jesus' name, amen.